We begin today in Washington, where the Supreme Court just ruled on a major abortion case. The court struck down a Louisiana law that required doctors performing abortions to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital, the effects of which could have left the state with a single abortion clinic. Now, we're going to be watching the court all week. There are a number of high-profile cases up. So here to kick us off is Nancy Gertner. She is a retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Always good to be here.
So, Judge Gertner, there are a number of big cases remaining before the court still, correct?
Right, that's right.
How many big ones are left, and when will they be done?
Well, when will they be done? One doesn't know. Usually they try to end but at the end of June. There's some notion that because there are numbers of cases that need to be decided more than usual, that they may well go into July. But the critical ones are the ones that deal with President Trump's records, the two subpoenas from the House for the records of third parties, that is to say his accounting firm, and then the records that are required by subpoena by Cyrus Vance, who's the district attorney in New York, for a grand jury proceeding. So those are the ones that are still up in the air that directly address the president's power.
Okay, so now let's put this case in context, this Louisiana case. What does the verdict say, and how big of a deal is this ruling?
It is a big deal in the short term, but the opinions and the variety of the opinions suggest that it's a much more fragile victory than might otherwise appear. So in this case, Louisiana had a regulation requiring doctors to have admitting privileges in hospitals within 30 miles of the abortion clinic. The rule before had been they either get admitting privileges themselves or they can have sort of designate another doctor with admitting privileges. The rules changed to make it clear that the doctors who perform abortions themselves had to have admitting privileges. The district court held a hearing and determined essentially that if that rule were enforced, there would only be one abortion clinic left in the entire state. The standard is whether or not the legislation puts a substantial burden on the right to abortion. There had been a case only a short time ago in Texas involving almost exactly the same statute. And clearly, Louisiana passed the statute that it did in the hopes that the court would reexamine that Texas case. Instead, four members of the court, we call them the four liberals, although I always object to that, plus Justice Roberts ruled that the Louisiana burden was identical to the Texas burden, and therefore, if the Texas burden, the Texas statute was thrown out, then the Louisiana statute should be thrown out. The four dissenters.
So there are a couple of things.
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead. Well, there are a couple things I want to dig out in there, Judge Gertner, and then we'll come to the dissenters in a second. Here in the Commonwealth, our abortion law is fairly stable and well codified. And yet this case, which deals with Louisiana, is relevant for all 50 states. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's relevant for the federal protection of abortion, the federal framework for the protection of abortion. In Massachusetts, as a result of a case before the Supreme Judicial Court in 1980, the right to choose abortion was protected under the state constitution. So even if the federal Even if Roe v. Wade were reversed tomorrow, there would still be protection for abortion in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and any other state that had interpreted its own constitution to protect the right to choose. So we're not directly affected here.
So the way this does play out that is relevant both for the Commonwealth and other states is about Roe itself. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, as I said, but even if Roe were reversed, my view would be that we're still protected in Massachusetts, but certainly because of the state constitution, but certainly around the country. One of the ways in which abortion has been undermined in the country is, I like to describe it through a thousand cuts, not directly challenging Roe v. Wade, but by creating a host of regulations that essentially limit it, and the Supreme Court has largely upheld those limiting regulations. this is a right like none other. It's a right that essentially can be undermined. The Texas case, in which there was also requiring admitting privileges for abortion providers, was one of the first that, in which the court finally held, with Justice Kennedy joining the four, the court finally held this restriction went too far. This admitting privileges restriction went too far. And what happened today was Justice Roberts, who had been in the dissent in the Texas case, concurred almost holding his nose. If you could characterize a judicial decision as holding his nose, that's what he was doing.
So let's come back to that now. Right, so now we can talk about Roberts and we can talk about the dissenters. I do just want to note quickly, your name was on a friend of the court brief arguing in favor of keeping with legal precedents. And that's really at the heart here of this battle between those who are dissenting and those who were in the majority here, is about the question of respecting legal precedent. Am I understanding that right?
That's right. There is a framework, set of legal standards for evaluating when a proposed restriction on abortion comprises, as the law describes, a substantial obstacle to a woman's right to choose. And while Roberts, this suggests the fragility of this decision. Roberts dissented to the Texas case, to the Texas statute that was almost identical to the one here. He's now gone along with it in this case, effectively holding his nose and saying precedent is precedent. The four dissenters would unravel that precedent completely and impose different ways of analyzing abortion regulations that would essentially eliminate the right, as I said, through 1,000 cuts. So the issue is whether you stick not just with Roe v. Wade, but whether you stick with this way of analyzing when regulations burden a woman. And you have four saying, yes, this is a virtually identical case. Robert saying, yes, this is a virtually identical case to the Texas case. And so precedent suggests I have to go along with it, even though I don't agree with it. And then the four dissenters picking apart the precedent and suggesting that all of this should be reevaluated.
Now, many in New England remember Maine Senator Susan Collins saying that Justice Kavanaugh would, quote unquote, follow precedent when it came to abortion rights when she has supported his nomination. I think there were probably many in other states who were expecting a different outcome from the court at this point. So where do we stand on our assessment of how the court relates to questions of choice and abortion now?
Well, I don't think there's any question that in the appropriate case, Justices Kavanaugh and Gorsuch will vote to either regulate abortion out of existence or reverse Roe v. Wade. I don't think that there's any doubt. In fact, in an earlier case involving something completely unrelated, which is the right to a unanimous jury, the court overturned an earlier precedent. There was a decision by Justice Kavanaugh talking about the circumstances under which you overturn precedent, and by Justice Kagan saying that has to be very limited. And it's clear that that was a discussion that was really not about the unanimous jury issue. That was a discussion about Roe v. Wade. So both Justices Kavanaugh and Gorsuch are willing, indeed, I would say anxious, to reevaluate this precedent, namely Roe v. Wade.
So the last thing that's coming up for me in this, Judge Gertner, is Judge Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, who has, in what appears to be a number of cases over the last couple of weeks, sort of sided with what one would call, you said you didn't like this term, but I'm going to use it here, the quote-unquote liberal justices on the court. What is going on there?
Well, it's the judicial equivalent of kicking the can down the road here. And down the road until there really is a dramatic change, even more dramatic than there already is, in the makeup of the court. In the DACA case, he literally kicked the can down the road by saying, not that DACA was wrong, but that the passage of but Trump's executive order eliminating DACA didn't follow the rules of the Administrative Procedure Act, a technical act that deals with how one changes regulations. So you didn't do it right this time, Trump, is what essentially he's saying. In this case, he's saying this statute was identical to the statute that we just affirmed only a short time ago. I'm obliged by precedent to therefore to make the decision in the same way, which is throwing out this statute. These are very limited decisions and almost inviting another round, and there will be another round.
And last question, briefly, you talked about these big questions about the president coming up, the subpoena questions. Do you have a sense of what you think is going to happen there?
You know, I hate to predict. I mean, let me say others have predicted that the House subpoenas will not be upheld, but the Cyrus Vance subpoena, the criminal investigation in New York, a subpoena to have financial records going before a grand jury, that will be upheld. You know, who knows? But that's the prediction. And there's one sort of analysis of Roberts as the institutionalist that says, okay, we'll keep the lid on this court, this now very conservative court, for the most part, until these cases, and then the lid will come off.
All right, that's Nancy Gertner, retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst. Thanks.
Thank you.